Okay, away we go. Welcome, everybody. It is a John DiBella Show Daily Podcast. A happy D-Day to every red-blooded American out there, especially if you're part of the greatest generation. I wonder how many we have that listen to the podcast from that generation. Well, if you're one of them, happy to have you along for the ride. Of course, we mentioned D-Day today in the lead up to the Veterans Radiothon, which is approaching on June 15th. But we started things off today by talking about a whiskey shortage. Sad news, yes, brutal news for all of us here in studio. And speaking of older Americans, there's one that just passed away, and her obituary is not exactly glowing. You'll hear John read that. Before we launched into Long Song Wednesday, we spun the wheel once again today. See where that landed. Find out what kind of body is in fashion and what kind of beer we certainly will not be trying from Sweden. Plus, author Jason Heller joined us to explain a new genre of music we weren't aware of, sci-fi rock. In fact, he wrote the book on it, and we talked to him all about that this morning. Hope you enjoy. Let's do it. Here you go. It is the Daily Podcast.
Are either of you, I saw this story this morning, and I want to make sure I got it straight out. Mm-hmm. All right, are either of you Irish whiskey fans?
Yeah, sure. I can get down with some Jamesons. Right. Yeah, the Caskmates, that's a good series I just came out with.
But is it something that you normally store at the house? Or?
Oh, I always have Irish whiskey.
Well, yeah. You better buy more.
Yeah?
Are they running out?
They're running out.
Oh, isn't it like Japan or something?
Yes. The Japanese are buying it up like crazy, right? And because it takes 7 years to age, mm-hmm. you might not have more Irish whiskey for a long time. So, my brother, you better get over and get yourself some more.
The John DiBella Podcast. 102.9.
Yeah, it does hurt.
MGK.
Obviously, this is something bad. I don't know. Maybe should have just gone to a text in a family, not necessarily in a local newspaper. Not sure exactly where Wabasso is. You have any idea where Wabasso is?
Sounds like a delicious hot sauce.
Right? Yeah. No. It sounds like it's, I don't know, like Wisconsin, Minnesota, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is an obituary that ran in a local newspaper.
Okay.
In Wabasso. All right.
Right.
All right. And it seems that Kathleen, some obituary music, please. Kathleen Demblow, who was originally Kathleen Shunk.
Okay.
Kathleen Demblow Shunk, right, was born on March 19th, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude Shunk of Wabasco. She married Dennis Hemlow, right, at St. Anne's in Wabasco in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay. Well, in 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle.
Oh, wow.
Right? And then moved to California. She abandoned her two children, Gina and Jay, who were raised by her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Shunk. Right? She passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that the world is a better place without her. Yep, you sure do feel the love right there.
The John DiBella Podcast.
You, sir, have a feminine side, don't you?
Well, I like gals.
102.9 MGK.
Got some suggestions for Long Song Wednesday.
Sure.
That's coming up at 7:40.
Like what?
Well, we got Inagata De Vida.
No.
Okay. We've made it very clear. No, we're not going to play that. Everybody thinks it'd be a great song to hear. And after 2 minutes, you all get bored with it. You go away and we're stuck listening to it. So, no. That is definitely on the no list. All right. Low Spark, High Heel Boys, we get that often.
Right.
Yep. Racing in the Street, I don't know if that's long enough to be considered a long song. Right. Peter Frampton's You Feel Like We Do, that's already on the wheel. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Stairway to Heaven, come on, that's not a long song. It's only like 6 minutes. All right. Highway Star, that's another good one.
Love
that's
that
another
song. Good one. Great driving song.
Yeah, right. Another good one. So
Racing in the Street, 6:51.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. So it's just bordering on, because we consider like seven long songs, right? Yeah. So it's just bordering on it. All right. Well, maybe Racing in the Street. Although, although Jungle Land is on there already.
Right. So.
So
we'll have to wait on Bruce. What about 20 minutes and 34 seconds?
20 minutes and 34 seconds. That might be too long.
That's side one of 2112.
Of 2112?
Yes.
No, too bad. Not going to make it.
One song, seven parts of said song.
It's Long Song Wednesday, not Long Side Wednesday. Right.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Guys, I have the greatest news. Cindy, I'm not sure if you are going to agree with this or not, but it seems that the majority of women do, right? Fellas, I'm telling you right now, go out, grab a six donut, chug yourself a big old glass of gravy, because there's new research that says women prefer dad bods.
Are we going through this again?
All right, right. What? We're going again. How? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, this science has said this like three or four times now.
I just want to make sure everybody understands.
Reinforce it.
It's like eggs.
Yeah, right?
What qualifies?
One side's good, one's bad.
What qualifies as a dad bod exactly?
Not you.
Not you. You don't have it.
I've been looking for an excuse to give up working out. So.
Okay. All right. Well, then just stop. All right.
Okay.
And you'll have
that's
one.
Easy.
And you'll have one
done.
In no time.
Right. I'm ready.
Right.
Just look to your right, Dave.
Okay.
You know,
study your glorious body.
And you know who did this? Planet Fitness did this. Planet Fitness ran this survey. 83% of women say they think that men with dad bods are more confident. 67% say they're more attractive. And 62% take it even further and say they're sexy and prefer them over men with six-pack abs.
I agree.
Here you go, ladies.
Well, six-packs are a sign that you're cheating.
Your stomach.
Gross. You know, sure, you can confuse me with a pregnant woman, all right? But it would have to be a pregnant bald woman, you know? So.
Those will be trending next year.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Liar!
Whoa!
102.9. MGK.
Now, we were talking Irish whiskey earlier morning. Let's talk beer now.
All right.
Now, obviously, these days, you could go just about anywhere, find a craft beer that it's pumpkin-y, cherry-filled, spicy, chocolatey, caffeinated, decaffeinated concoction. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be something, you know, new and different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Take Sweden, for example. They're going to a whole new level. I hope I'm saying this right. The Nya Carnebrygget. Right, that's
come on, IKEA boy.
Pretty sure that's a dresser.
Nya Carnebrygget. There we go. That's a brewery. They teamed up with.
There we go. Like you said it right. Come on,
nailed it.
Okay, here you look at it. Nya Carnebrygget.
Oh God.
Oh, that's easy.
It's like five Scrabble racks.
Much. Thank you very much. You believe the crap I get from these two, Cindy? Right?
I don't believe it.
I know, and I like they could say Nya Carnebrygget. All right.
Anyway, tell us about the Meatball IPA.
Anyway, it's a new IPA that they have. They've teamed up with the Swedish Environmental Research Institute it's a Pilsner that they put together that's made out of recycled wastewater.
That's disgusting.
All right. Yep, sewage water, and it's called Purist. Purist.
I see what they did.
I get it.
Yeah. See, all right.
I want nothing to do with renewable anything with beer.
Yeah.
Because I know what that means.
Yeah.
You can repackage it all the way you want.
Exactly.
I know what's going on here.
Have you seen?
And I'm dumping it right out.
Have you seen the new six pack holders that are made out of cardboard?
No.
Right. Instead of the plastic ones, they're made out of cardboard. So if they end up in the ocean, they disintegrate. Why do I get the feeling that there's going to be an online challenge of people eating them? Right. Hey, who can eat this first? Yeah, okay.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You are crazy in the most wonderful way.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
This is the funnest night ever.
102.9. MGK.
Time once again to get to the Wheel of Long Songs. There are 14 different songs that got put up on here each and every week. The listeners, the listeners came up with every suggestion that's on here right now. And the new song that got put in this morning, Jessica by the Allman Brothers.
Okay. Yeah.
So still on the list is Kashmir, I'm Your Captain, Closer to Home, Abacab, Do You Feel Like We Do from Frampton, Money for Nothing from Dire Straits, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. From Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Roundabout from Yes. Foreplay, Long Time from Boston. Here's your song, boys. Twilight Zone. Right? L.A. Woman. Midnight Rambler from the Rolling Stones. Life's Been Good. And Jungle Land. Are you guys still pulling for Twilight Zone?
Oh, absolutely.
Always and forever.
Absolutely.
Right, do you have a backup?
L.A.
Twilight,
Woman.
Twilight Zone.
L.A. Woman.
you're
Steve's
I don't
obsessed.
Want to hear anything.
You don't want to hear anything else.
I'm mildly interested.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to spin the wheel.
So pretty when you start it up.
It is. It's so rainbowy.
Yep.
Come on. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so close.
Are you kidding me?
We missed Twilight Zone by one.
Ladies and gentlemen. God. Today's long song for Long Song Wednesday is Boston.
And
foreplay, long time.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Jason Heller is a man who has written for The New Yorker, Rolling Stone, The Atlantic. I mean, the list goes on and on. Entertainment Weekly and a whole bunch of other folks. Well, you know what? He's got a brand new book out called Strange Stars, David Bowie, Pop Music, and the Decade Sci-Fi Exploded. Jason Heller, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. You know, I'm a sci-fi fan. I'm a fantasy fan. Obviously, I love rock and roll. I've been playing Space Oddity since it was a new record. But I never heard this story about 2001, A Space Odyssey, right? And how it played into this song and so many others that were impressed by sci-fi music.
So 2001, Space Odyssey came out in 1968, and David Bowie at that point was not famous, was still a struggling musician in London. The movie comes out, the Kubrick movie, 2001, it blows his mind. He winds up seeing it over and over again in the theater in 1968, and that spurred him along with the fact that mankind was about to land on the moon within the next year, to sort of synthesize all that into the song Space Oddity.
Speaking of, you know, people getting involved with landing on the moon, didn't Pink Floyd do something when the moon landed? I know what I was doing, but we don't want to get into that.
yeah, absolutely. In 1969, when the Apollo mission was going on, they were broadcasting that live, of course, across the world and on the BBC. And Pink Floyd at the time had already accrued this reputation as a very spacey band, of course.
Yeah.
And so the BBC hired them to improvise music in the studio live over the video broadcasts from the moon.
Wow!
Human beings walking on the moon, and they titled the composition Moonhead. It was never recorded for anything else. They never played it again. But it just goes to show how closely musicians of the 60s and going into the 70s were really influenced by these huge changes that were happening in science and technology and also in science fiction.
You know, Steve and I here in the studio were having a conversation just the other day about, for the longest time, every musician I knew was a voracious reader. That they're always, they always had a book in hand. There was always something that they were reading, a lot of times sci-fi, but it could have been anything. And nowadays, that's gone.
Yeah, you don't see that as much. That used to be like a hallmark, right, of songwriters, that people really, really loved to translate things that they had read. And the influence that went into these songs is something that's been forgotten or overlooked over the years. You know, for instance, Hendrix, which I go to in the book, a huge science fiction fan and a big reader of science fiction.
Now, didn't Purple Haze, didn't that phrase come from some sci-fi book he wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, he read, rather?
Yeah, it came from Philip Jose Farmer, the classic science fiction author, who had a phrase in one of his stories about a purplish haze that one of the characters was seeing around this planet. And that phrase stuck in Hendrix's mind. And when he wrote Purple Haze, it was this huge, huge poem that went on for pages and pages and talked about all these wars in outer space. But when he had to whittle those lyrics down for the final version of Purple Haze, the science fiction elements got cut out of it, but that was still the initial inspiration for that song.
I was going to say, yeah, because for a poem that was that long, I don't know how he managed to get it into an under 3 minute song.
Yeah, he had to edit that down, right? Exactly. Or it would have been, you know, in a Gata De Vida.
Well, if you are a rock fan and you are a sci-fi fan, I've got to tell you, there are great stories here to be had. It is called Strange Stars, David Bowie, Pop Music, and the Decade Science Fiction Exploded. Jason Heller, the author and our guest. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The John DeBella Podcast. 102.9 MGK.